same. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Now you need to underline it. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." For we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the Christian walk. From the time you get saved, from the time that you're born again, all the way through, you're to walk by faith. Now, I want you to take your pen, and I want you to go back a little bit further, and I want you to go back in the beginning, and let's get verse 1, and let's come down to there a little bit so you can see some things that are connected with this walk by faith. And why I said you're to walk by faith from the beginning to the end. Now, I'm going to talk about the end. How many of you ever heard the expression, a text without a context is a pretext? That means you can't take a verse of Scripture out of its context and pull it out. It has a context. And I'm saying faith, for the time you get saved, to right to the end, it's faith all the way. Faith. Now, verse 1. We know that if our earthly house, the earthly house is this house I'm in, the earthly house of this tabernacle, that's the one I got right here, were dissolved. That means it goes back to the dirt. Goes back to the dirt. It's dissolved. This body is going to dissolve. But I got another one on the inside. That's my soul. That's my soul. Now, hold your finger there and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm saying this because I want you to know that this walk by faith is all the way through to the end. All the way through to the day that you drop dead or that trumpet sound. Now turn to 2 Peter a minute. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Knowing that shortly, this is Peter, this is the Apostle Peter, knowing that shortly, I'm 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, knowing that shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Christ hath showed me. Now circle the word tabernacle. What's he talking about? Talking about his body. Talking about his body. So Peter's saying, I'm getting ready to die. The Lord showed me that I'm going to die and I'm going to put off this body. I'm going to put off this tabernacle. You know, as I look out here this evening, you know what I see? I see the outward man. But on the inside of you is the inward man on the inside. And that's your soul. That's the part of you that is going to leave this here place right here. It is a tabernacle going to be dissolved. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's pick it up again. All right? And we know that if an earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, then in a clothed, we shall not be found naked. And we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortal might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. All right? Therefore we are always confident in knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are what? Absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, and I say willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So one of these days, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to do what? I'm going to drop dead. I'm going to die. And I'm going to be put into a casket. That's this body right here. Going to be put into a casket. And then my soul is going to step out of that body. Step out of that body. Now, I've never seen a soul step out. But I believe that soul is going to step out of there. Why? Because he said, absent from the body and present with the Lord. That means what? That means you get saved by faith. And then you walk by faith, and 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 you die by faith, trusting that God is going to resurrect your soul, is going to leave your body and go with Jesus Christ. If all the hope you had in this life, Paul says, in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Miserable. Why? Because it's just a walk of faith. I'm going to leave this old maggot body one of these days. Maggot's going to eat me, and I'm going to leave it and be gone. But until that time, I walk by faith. Walk by faith. Walk by faith. Now, what is this walk by faith? Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. It's a walk by faith. The Christian life. Never stop walking by faith. Now write it down. Walk by faith until you die. All the way to the end. Never quit walking by faith. All right. Now, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look at it. Underline, there's two things. Substance, that's one thing, and evidence, that's another thing. So the two things that faith is. Faith is what? It's the substance. What is that substance? That substance is the Holy Spirit inside of me. When I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit inside of me. And what did the Holy Spirit do? He started bearing witness with my spirit that I was God's child. And I got the witness of the Holy Spirit in me that I'm saved. And I'm not going to stay in that grave. I got eternal life. I'm going to come out of that grave. One of these days, he's going to resurrect this old dead body of mine. He's going to bring it up. He's going to bring it up. Now, faith is the evidence. It's faith. That's the Holy Spirit in you. And the evidence, that is this thing right here. The Holy Word of God, the Bible. This book right here. That's the evidence. You know how I know I'm saved? Because the Bible says I'm saved. That's how come I know I'm saved. Why? The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I got Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. I'm saved. That's what he said. Now, faith. Faith. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm giving you an introduction here so you'll know. I haven't even got to my point yet. I'm giving you a kind little introduction so you'll know something about faith. All right, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. Now watch it. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith, now underline it, your faith does what? What does your faith do? Groweth, groweth. It grows exceedingly. So when you get saved, your faith is supposed to grow in your Christian life. And you're to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now what is faith? Faith is something you don't see. You don't see it. If you see it, it ain't faith. Faith is something you don't feel. You don't feel it. It's something that you don't feel. What is faith? Faith is not sight. But he said we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, now look at here. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. How many of you saw him die? How many of you saw Jesus Christ die for your sins? How many of you did not see him die? All right? So what do? You look back to the cross of Calvary. You see Jesus Christ dying for your sins. How do you do that? You do that by faith through the Holy Word of God. You take God's word for it. So it's faith. In the cross of Calvary, you did not see him die. Faith is something you can't see. You put your faith in his death for your sins, his burial, and his resurrection, and God saved you. Faith is not feeling. Now, look at here. Some folks, when they come, they get saved, they come down the aisle, and they come down the aisle bawling. And boy, I've seen them get up out of the pew and run down the aisle bawling, and they got a feeling. I've seen other folks get no feeling whatsoever, not any feeling. They got up, walked down the aisle, and I said, what are you coming for? I said, I'm coming to receive Jesus Christ. And somebody said, well, they weren't bawling. No,
So it's not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. It's putting your faith in the death of Jesus Christ, His burial and resurrection. Faith is not a feeling. And then you get saved by failing faith, and then you're to walk by faith the rest of your Christian life, and you're to grow. You're to grow in it. Now, I've got 4 points that a Christian should absolutely walk in faith in. Now, if you're saved and you're God's child, you need to walk in faith in these things. All right? You want to write it down. You want to walk in faith. You want to walk in the dark. And when things get bad in your Christian life, and they get rough in your Christian life, and they get terrible in your Christian life, you want to keep right on walking by faith. Right on going by faith, no matter what the circumstances are around you. No matter what's on this side, no matter what's on that side, you can't get your eye over here, you can't get your eye over there. You've got to keep your eye on Christ. You've got to walk by faith. And no matter what you see with these eyeballs, and no matter what you experience on the outside, you've got to walk by faith. Now, let me give you an example. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms. Number one. Point number one. A matter of faith is connected with prayer. Faith in the Bible is connected with prayer. Point number one. All your prayer life is connected with prayer. And all your faith is connected with prayer. Turn to Psalms 105. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms 105. Psalms 105 and look at verse 17. Psalms 105, verse 17. How many of you remember the life of Joseph? With Joseph was the son of Jacob, and Joseph had the coat of many colors, and Joseph was hated by his brother and taken by his brother, and they beat him up and threw him in a pit and put goat's blood on his coat of many colors and told the daddy that he was... Come on, folks, how many of you remember the story? Say amen. And then Joseph was taken and put down to Egypt. And as Joseph goes down to Egypt, he goes down there as a 17-year-old boy. And as he goes down to Egypt, he spends a lot of time down there in prison. In prison. Now, Psalms chapter 105, and pick up verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. He's 17 years old. He's sold for a servant. He goes down to Egypt, whose feet were hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Now, pick your pen and underline in verse 18. Whose feet were hurt with fetters and was laid on iron. You know what it is? Joseph is down there. He's in prison. He got iron around his feet. He's bleeding. He's down there in prison and he's bleeding. And the outside of Joseph is bawling and crying and being hurt. And he's saying, Lord, you're going to take care of me. Lord, you're going to take care of me. I love you, Lord. I love you, but you're going to take care of me. I know I was sold by my brothers. I know my brothers hate me. I know they wanted to kill me. And I know they threw me in a pit and sold me as a slave. And I've been down here as a slave for years and years and years. But you, God, you're going to take care of me. You know what Joseph was doing? Joseph was walking in dust. By faith, saying, Lord, I don't know what's happening on this side and this side. It just seems like a terrible mess. But Joseph, his perfect faith with God, walking up, but he's not looking at the things around him. And that's what you got to do. You can't look at the circumstances around you. God don't want you to look on this side and look on this side and look on this side. If you don't walk by faith and you look at the things on this side and this side, you know what you'll do? You'll quit as a Christian if you don't learn how to walk by faith. Many Christians never make it. They think, I got to see something. I got to see something. I got to see something. You know what you want? You're just like me. You want to see somebody walk the aisle and get saved. You want to see somebody get saved in the street corner. You say, boy, I got to see somebody get saved. Boy, I got to see somebody get saved. And you're buttonholing this guy and talking to this guy and talking to this guy. It's by faith. By faith. It's by faith a man gets saved. You don't save anybody. You don't do the work. God does the work. You can't look at the things around you. Joseph didn't look at. If Joseph would have sat there with the irons on his feet and irons on his hand, Joseph would sit there and say, I can remember when I used to be in my daddy's house with my coat of many colors, and I can remember back when daddy loved me and my brothers loved me and everything was so good. You know what he could have done? He would have messed up right there where he was. What he did is just kept on. Pretty soon they take this one off, take this iron off. Pretty soon they take that iron off and take that iron off and say, Joseph, we'll let you walk from one cell to the other here. We see you got a pretty good spirit about you, and I'll tell you what, I'll let you walk around the prison here a little bit. And Joseph walks around the prison a little bit, and he's talking to this guy over here, and just talking to this guy, and talking to this prisoner over here. And pretty soon Joseph is running. Then pretty soon he has a dream. Everybody's coming to Joseph and finds out Joseph can read a fellow's dreams. One day Joseph is there, and Joseph says, I read your dream. I can read your dream. God told me about it. God can tell me about dreams. God told him about dreams, read two fellows' dreams, and pretty soon it ain't long, and Joseph is what? He's running all of Egypt. He's running all of Egypt. Come on! Did Joseph run Egypt? Say amen. Amen. But don't forget, that's after a while he run Egypt. Don't forget, he was down there for a long time in the prison with chains on his feet and chains on his hands, down there going through a pretty rough valley. So that's a walk of faith. When you get down there, brother, and you're going to be down there time after time after time after time, don't quit. The prayer life is to keep right on going. You're to pray by faith. Pray by faith. You say, what is faith? Faith is this. When I come out here, I come out and I got an airplane and entered Kalispell, and I looked at the airplane and I said, that airplane must weigh at least 400,000 or 500,000 pounds. Big old thing. You ever seen a 747 take off of Seattle? Got that thing that comes across like this and rolls up over the top like that and looks like it's got a kind of a hood up there, kind of a headlight. And you look at that plane and see that plane, that thing looks like a humongous giant. Looks like four or five buildings put together. Ever see a 747 out there on the flight? How many have ever seen a 747 out there on the flight? Man, you say, that right there is going to go in the air. I think to myself, I got on that 747 once, flying out of here over to the back home, and I looked on that thing, and there's five seats here, and five seats there, and five seats on this side. I don't know, 12 seats across there like that. Man, alive, this is going to fly. Go down the runway. And all these people on here, man, now look at all these people. Now, don't ask me how that thing gets up in the air. They say, well, the wing comes under, the air comes under the wing, and it lifts it up, and it flies. No, it's faith. It's faith, brother! Faith! That thing goes down there, and I think, faith, get that thing right there up. And you know what I do every time on that airplane? I don't think I missed the one. I bow my head and I say, dear Lord, take all the dams off of every part of this airplane. Take every dam off of it, because there was some mechanic that was working on this thing and he got mad at it and then he dammed it for sure. Lord, please take all the dams off of this airplane, every one of them, and all the curses off of this airplane. Lord, help us to get up in the air. Thank you, amen. Thank you, Lord. That airplane takes off. And every time it starts to land, I say, Lord, just in case we miss something here, take all the dams off of this airplane, let it land. Comes on in, you say, what is that? That's faith, brother. That's faith. You say, what's faith? Here's faith. See this pulpit right here? Now that's faith. I'm putting my faith in that pulpit to hold me up. You're to put your faith in God. You're to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're to put your faith in His book. Put your faith in His book. Is faith saving me? No, the Pope is saving me. The book's going to save me. Jesus Christ is going to save me. Put your faith in Him. I put faith in the pulpit. I'm putting faith in the pulpit. I got faith in the pulpit. I got faith in it. It didn't hold. Slid away. I put my faith in Jesus, and He's not going to slide away. He's going to save your soul. Don't put your faith in baptism. It won't save you. Don't put your faith in communion. It won't save you. Don't put your faith in living a good life. It won't save you. Put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. You come to Jesus Christ, and he'll save your soul. Put your faith in him. Everything else will slide away, brothers. Now, take your Bible. I want you to turn to the book of James. Turn to the book of James and turn to James chapter 1. Faith. Faith is what is necessary in prayer. Faith is what's necessary in prayer. You have a prayer you want answered. Now turn to James chapter 1. You have a prayer that you wanted. Every time you get down on your hands and knees to pray, you've got to say, Lord, help my faith to grow. I want you to answer this prayer. And Lord, I have faith in what you say. I have faith that you'll answer this prayer. You've got to have faith in it. A lack of faith will mess you up, brother. Now look at it. James chapter 1. Let's pick up verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him, now watch it, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Take your pen and underline it. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not him that thinketh he receiveth anything of the Lord. Now underline verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if a man comes to prayer and he doesn't have faith, what does he get? He gets nothing. He gets simple. You've got to come to the Lord and you've got to send the Lord. I believe that you've got faith to get this job done. And Lord, I'll take you at your word. You said you'd do it. I claim your promise, and by your faith, I'll accept what you say. Now, if you're going to come to God and say, Lord, I just don't know. Lord, I tell you, I think you can, but Lord, I tell you, maybe, well, I don't know if I want that or not. You ain't getting nothing. God won't give you anything. You've got to come to say, the Lord, it's like this. Here's a guy going down he's going like a freight train down a track. Down the track, that freight train. Down the track he goes. Down the track, down the track, down the track. What is it? He got a one-track mind. He got a one-track mind. What did that verse say? It said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He doesn't have faith. He said, Lord, this is what I'd like to have. But Lord, really what I want is this over here. Come on. You ask for something and have faith in it, and you're one like a freight train going down the track. You got that mindset, and you ask God in faith, God will give you a lot of faith. It's a lack of faith. Now take your Bible again and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Now, I believe this is the greatest illustration in faith in the entire Bible that God put in His book. Turn to Matthew and turn to Matthew chapter 15. I believe this is the greatest illustration of faith in the entire Bible. Turn to Matthew and turn to Matthew chapter 15. And in Matthew chapter 15, let's pick up verse 21. Now turn to the verse, Matthew 15, 21. This is an illustration of faith. Jesus answered, and Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That's up in the northern part of Israel. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Then she's a Canaanite. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that Canaanites come from Cain, and you know that Cain come from Ham. All right? So she's a Canaanite. Who is she? She's a black lady. She's a colored lady. She's coming, and that's where she's at. She's not a Jew. She's not of Israel. She's not of the Jewish nation. Now watch it. Go a little bit further. Go into the next one. Come out and same coast and crying into him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grieved and vexed with the devil. Now watch it, verse 23. But he answered her not a word. He didn't answer a single word. He didn't say nothing to her. She comes up to him and says, Lord, my little daughter, she's got a devil. And she has a devil inside her. And Lord, please would you heal my daughter from this devil? Now you'd think the Lord would say, sure. He doesn't do that, does he? He didn't answer her a word. So brother, when you come to prayer and the Lord doesn't answer you, what are you supposed to do? Quit? Are you to quit? Are you to quit? Say, I'm not going to ask God nothing because God wouldn't answer my prayer. I'm not going to ask nothing. Why, if God doesn't answer your prayer, if he answers not a word, you know what you need to do? Keep right on praying. Right on praying. Don't you stop praying. Now, are you with me? Say amen. Keep right on. Don't quit. Now, the rest of verse 23. Now, take your Bible and look at the verse. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. The disciple says, send her away, Lord. She's just bugging us now, Lord. Send her away. And she bugged them. Now, if you got a daughter, you love your daughter, and you know that there's a devil inside your daughter, like this woman knew. That's what she said. Did she say a devil was in her? Then she said, oh, Lord, please, please. And then she started bugging John. She started bugging Peter and James. And they come to Jesus and said, Lord, send this woman away. She's just bugging us to death. She didn't quit. If you want something from God, you know what you got to do? You got to keep on asking. You can't just quit just like that. Because you don't get the prayer answered, you just say, I'm through. God gives a lot of folks a lot of things if they'll ask. Have you asked? Keep on asking. Don't quit. Now watch her. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, what did Jesus say? He said, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said what? He said, I'm sent to the Jews. I'm sent to them. I'm sent to the Jewish nation. I'm sent to them. I'm not Gentiles. I'm to these Jews right here. That's what God sent me for. Come on. Stay right in there. Now watch it again. All right. Verse 25. Then came she and did what? Worship him. What'd she do? She come over there and she said, I know if I can just get him, I'll get my prayer answered. I ain't going to quit. And she come over there and she got down in his feet like that and got down right there and just grabbed a hold of his feet and she put her hands right around his feet and she worshiped him. She worshiped him. And that got to him a little, I think. I think when you worship Jesus Christ, that's going to get to him. More, she worshiped him and said, Lord, underline that, Lord, help me. Now, verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it into dogs. She's got him by the feet. She's got him by the feet. And he said, it's not meet to take the children's meat. Why, that's the Jews. And she knows it. And cast it to you Gentiles. Cast it into the Gentiles. You know what? He knows she's a Gentile. And he said, a dog. And she got it. You know what she said? Let's see what this woman says. This woman says, and she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And she said that. She's down at his feet. She got a hold of it. And she said, you know what she's saying? She said, that woman is coming saying, Lord, I know I'm nothing but a dog. But the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. Brother, if you want something from God, you better come like this lady right here does. You can't come in there saying, well, you know something? I lived a pretty good life. You know, I ain't such a bad fella. And what's the big idea of calling me a dog anyway? That lady would have walked out of there and gotten nothing from God. You want something from God? Do you want something from God? How many want something from God? Say amen. Then come like this lady did here with faith, brother. She's got some faith, boy. She come there and says, true, Lord, I'm nothing but a dog. But don't forget, Lord, the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. I eat, and I look down, and there's a crumb over there, and there's a crumb of it, and there's one on the floor over there. I'm kind of sloppy, you know, and there's another one. And every now and then, when the dog runs through, I just take something and throw it to him. Master's table, and my dog got out a few crumbs. There you go. I know every household in this face of this earth, and the master puts some crumbs in the dog dish for the dog. From the table. How many of you feed the dog table scraps? Say amen. See that? And this woman come right there and she said, woo! Ha ha! Woo! God will answer your prayer if you've got the faith. And if you don't quit and stop praying and just go say, well, you know something, Lord, I just don't appreciate the way you've been treating me. You've been treating me bad lately, and I just, that ain't the way to come. Come saying, Lord, I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I haven't got nothing. Lord, I'm dumb and ignorant. But you know something, Lord? You help the foolish, and so you can help me. Come with faith. That woman walked up. You know what the Lord did? Lord, let's see what he did. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Underline. Great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Why? You know what it was? It was her attitude. It was her attitude. It's your attitude. That's what it's all about. Look at here. You go to the judge, and you go up to the judge, and the judge is sitting there, and you've committed some crime, and you go into the judge, and you go into the judge like, he can throw the book at you and put you in prison just so you live and breathe. You go in there to the judge, and you go, I'm sorry, Judge. I apologize, Judge. And I apologize to this person I hurt. And I apologize to this person over here. And Judge, I'll pay to the best of my ability to make the fight. Your attitude. You've got to come to Jesus in faith and say, Lord, I believe you. I believe who you are and what you are and what you've done. Lord, please, I need you. You've got to give it to you. Faith is connected with prayer. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 20. Turn to Matthew chapter 17 and look at verse 20. Faith is connected with prayer. All right. Matthew chapter 17. Now turn to the verse. Matthew chapter 17 and look at verse 20. Now look what Jesus said. Now notice faith and prayer. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, underline it, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, and underline it, as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence unto yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So what does he say? He says, come and have the faith the size of what? A grain of mustard seed. And I thought, Lord, just the faith of a grain of the size of the mustard seed? That's a little bitty old seed. That's just a little, you can hardly see it about that big around. That's how the bigger a grain of mustard seed is, about that little old thing. And then I said, Lord, I'll tell you what. I don't have no mountains to move. Got a mountain to move. And I said, Lord, I'll tell you something. I want that building right out front of my church where that guy in the parking lot sits right in front of me. My building is, the Bible Baptist Church is on the main highway that goes through Montana. And right in front of my church, it was a garage. An old garage that covers up and hides the church building from the highway. Now, did you get the point? I want that old garage gone. What's that old garage gone? Right beside it, there's another great big old broad there. And it's hiding the sign and hiding everything, and nobody from the highway can see it. One day I said, Lord, I want that garage gone. Please take that garage out. You said the grain of mustard seed, and that ain't a mountain, but please take the garage away. Give me that land. Give me that house and make a parking lot out of it. And one day a great big old storm come through there. Big old storm come through and took the roof of that building and blew the whole roof off. And the guy had the roof tore down, so he said, well, the roof's off of it. I think I'll just take down the garage. So he went out and took the whole garage down. But it ain't over yet. His shed right there is sitting right there in front. How many of you will pray with me that God will take the shed down? You say, what for, preacher? So some poor soul that's on the road to hell will stop and say, well, there's a church I think will try it out. Some poor soul is about to step out into the eternal lake of fire and burn forever. Say, I think I'll just stop right in there. Pull right in there, and it's crazy. My Bible says, by the preaching of the cross, it pleases God by the preaching of the cross to save them that believe. Said, by the foolishness of preaching, it'll save them that believe. All right? It's connected with prayer. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew 21. Here it is again. Matthew chapter 21. Now turn to the verse. Matthew chapter 21 and look at verse 22. Here it is again. Matthew 21, 22. And all things what you ask in prayer, believe ye. Now underline it. Believe ye shall receive. So when a Christian doesn't have faith, doesn't believe what God said, doesn't believe in the Lord, doesn't have faith in the Lord, you know what happens? The Lord just says, you don't have faith anyway. You don't have faith anyway. You don't want it. You really want something else. So he doesn't answer your prayer. All right, again, take your Bible and turn to the book of Galatians. Faith has to do with ministering the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 3. Faith has to do with ministering the Holy Spirit to one another. Turn to Galatians. And turn to Galatians chapter 3. And take your pen and in verse 5, underline something. Verse 5, Galatians 3, 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which one is it? The works of the law or the hearing of faith? It's a question mark. Which one is it? Now you answer. Is it the hearing of faith or the works of the law? Come on, folks. It's what? It's by faith. By faith. Then what happened? Underline. Minister to you the Spirit. So it's by faith. Now you say, explain. It's like this. Every time I get up and preach, and every time you fellowship after thee, when the service is over tonight, you're going to sit around here and you're going to have fellowship together. That's a blessing. If you're ministering the Holy Spirit out of you to them, and you're to do that by faith, as you sit and talk to each other, you're going to say, no, Lord, I want to be a blessing to them. I want to be a blessing to them, and out of me is going to flow the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to them. You're to do that by faith. Now, if you don't do it by faith, you know what happens? You know what happens? Here's a lady in my church. And this lady in my church, she doesn't know how to talk. She's stupid. She's dumb. She's always running her mouth and saying the dumbest, stupid things in the face of this earth. I won't tell you who it is in case he gets back to her. But, she does more damage than every unsaved man in town to my church. Because she doesn't know what to say when she, after the church service is over, she's always putting her foot in her mouth. I call her Miss Long Tongue. Louise says, don't call her that. And I still call her Miss Long Tongue. You know, I think she's got a tongue long enough to reach out here like that and wrap it around her head 3 or 4 times. Why? Because she's always, 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 Lord be merciful to that woman's tongue. Something at the wrong time. instead of ministering the Holy Spirit to somebody. You know something? You folks around here, and you have fellowship and fellowship and fellowship and fellowship and fellowship. Now listen to what I'm telling you. That is great, and that's wonderful. And you are to do it by faith. When you leave here, you say, I didn't see. I thought I helped somebody. I thought I was a blessing to somebody. I did it by faith. You don't know for sure you did, but I'll tell you something. You keep on doing it. There's a proof of it. You folks are still here, and you ministered the Holy Spirit to each other, and it's a blessing, and you did it by faith. You folks were here till midnight one night. Yeah! Midnight! I think it was 11 o'clock another night. And another night, I lost track of what time it was when you quit. That's a blessing. That's good. I'm encouraging you. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. But make sure it's by faith, and make sure Mrs. Long's on. You know what you need to do? You need to stop and look at yourself and see how much damage you can do in the process. When you get through with this service, don't think that the Holy Spirit is gone. He's still here doing a work in the fellowship that you have with one another. And it's very, very important that you minister the Holy Spirit out of you to one another. So watch what you say. I've been a preacher for 35 years. And I've had people say, preacher, you know what the problem is? Mrs. So-and-so said such and such to me when I was at Bible class, or when I was after the church service, or before the church service. When you come to this place, brother, you want to be right with God, prayed up with God, and let the Holy Spirit flow from you. With my Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit come out of you. You can't see it. You can't see it. You don't know that's so. You can't feel it. You don't feel it anywhere. But it's still happening. And you can do that by faith. By faith. By faith. Only the Lord knows how many people have been hurt. This church, my church, and every church in this country by somebody saying the wrong thing and not ministering to the Holy Spirit by faith. You know what hurts Christianity more than anything? Backbiting mouth that won't pay attention to what it's saying. It's hurt more than the unsaved people going to hell have hurt it. The unsaved people are going to hell. They can come in this church and enjoy it and walk out the door and not worry about a thing. But boy, these people that come in here don't watch their tongue in what they say and minister in the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? You grieved the Holy Spirit in your heart before you came. You grieved Him. And then you didn't try to be a blessing to anybody. I'm coming through life. I want to be a blessing to you. I've gotten a great blessing from this church. And it's put me up on the top. But I'm not any different than anybody else. I'm going to be standing out front and somebody just like that. Just cut my heart just like anybody else. So minister the Holy Spirit to each other by faith, like it says. Minister to you the Spirit. You do it by faith, not by sight. Now again, take your Bible and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It's by faith. The Christian life is by faith. Now, from beginning to end, it's a walk of faith. Don't ever quit walking by faith. And from the time that you're saved to the time you die, faith is not what you see, not the circumstances around you. It's just putting faith in God and trusting Him. All right? Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. What else is a walk by faith in the Christian life? Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, I want you to look at verse 1. How many are there? If you're there, say amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. What's that? That's the tract ministry. That's this tract ministry that you have here in this church. And you have a tremendous tract ministry. That's a great blessing, brother. When you get to heaven, you'll never know how much you reap from that ministry. And you had a part in that. Every time you go out that door and you take a gospel tract with you and you put it out here and you put it out there and you put it out there and you put it out there and you put it out there, you don't know what you're doing. But that's a great blessing. It's done by what? Done by faith. Done by faith. Put them out, put them out, put them out. I want to tell you how I got saved. I got saved by a gospel tract handed to me. I was aboard the USS Rochester in the Navy. And I was walking around the side of the ship there, and I sprained my ankle. My ankle swelled up real bad like that. Swelled right straight up and couldn't get my shoe off. And I went down to sick bay. Went down three or four decks down to sick bay. And I was in sick bay there, and a guy handed me a gospel tract. His name was Paul Whipple. And he handed me that gospel tract. I took that gospel tract, and I read that gospel tract for 3 days. Because it was 3 days a week, the thing. I couldn't read. So I read that gospel tract. Took me 3 days to read that thing. Just read it, and 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 read it. Until finally got the thing got memorized. And I had that gospel tract right down pat, and I had the thing going. And I put my billfold and wore it out. And you know what happened in that period of time? My entire heart changed. My entire life changed. From that very moment, I was cussing and turning the wall red. I stopped from that very moment. God took out all the cussing that was in my heart. Now when you're dumb and stupid and you can't read, you know what you do? You make up all the cuss words you can to cover up how dumb you are. And boy, I had a bunch of things to cover up how dumb I was. Boy, I had a rolling of them. You know what God did? In that week, He took them all out of my heart. Took them away. He took drinking away, the desire to drink, He took it away. The desire to do a bunch of unnameable things that I won't even name. He took those all away. And overnight, I was changed to a new creature that a guy handed me. I went down out in San Diego, California, went out and sat on a bench, and a guy come up on the bench, and he sat down beside me. He gave me another gospel tract, and he led me to the Lord again. I said, that sounds good to me. I'll go for it. Let's go. Let's pray. He led me to the Lord again. I went up there to the Servicemen Center in San Diego, California. Went up to the Servicemen Center, and another guy sat me down and led me to the Lord again. I said, amen. Sounds good to me. I'll go for it. That sounds good. I'll do that. That sounds good to me. Let's go, man. Let's go. I'll buy that. He led me to the Lord again. I mean, what do you do, man? You're all for that. I'm all for what that guy says. Sounds good to me. And you say, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. A bunch of guys doing it by faith. Some guys not even know what they're doing. Come on. They're just doing it, man. But thank God there's something doing. I'd rather you did it wrong than not even do it. Not even do it. And finally, I started growing and growing and growing. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now note, look at verse 6 now. Verse 6. Now it says, verse 6, in the morning, sow thy seed. So what's that? In the morning, while you're young, that's in the morning. That's right there, while you're young. That guy's age right there. You, and you, and you, when you're young, put out gospel tracts. Put out some gospel tracts. That will go right there, right there, right there, right there, and right there. Put out gospel tracts. Put them out. That's young. You say none? You'll never know. You'll never know. It says in the morning. Now watch it. In the evening. Now watch it. In the evening. When's that? That's when you're getting old. Not very old. A little bit old. Yeah, a little bit old. A little older. A little older. A little older. Older. A little older, way back there in the back, older, way back in the back, white hair, a little bit older. Come on. Keep on doing it. When you're old, keep right on doing it. When you're an old man and you're just cushioning it around, you can just barely walk, get your gospel tract and put it out. Get your gospel tract and put it out. Now watch it. In the morning sow the seed, in the evening withhold not thy hand. Now watch it. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike. You know what it is? It's by faith you're to sow the Word of God. You're to sow it by faith. Sow it by faith. Sow it by faith. Put out the Word of God by faith. And you know something? When you get to glory and you get up in heaven and you get up there and see every man that got saved by a gospel tract, and you look over here and you say,
You handed me a gospel tract in the street corner and I got saved. You handed me a gospel tract in the street corner and I got saved. I was in Kalispell, Montana, and I made up a gospel tract. I made one up. It says, Four Things God Wants You to Know. And I made that gospel tract up, and I started to hand them out all over Kalispell. Hand them out over Kalispell. Now, a guy come up to me, an old man come up to me one day, and he says, you give me a gospel tract. Years and years and years ago, I got saved on that gospel tract. Woo! You know something? I did it by faith. I didn't know that guy was going to accept Christ. I just gave him a gospel tract. You know what you do? You ministered the Word of God by faith. When that preacher gets up here and preaches, he preaches out there by faith. Out there by faith. Out there by faith. And maybe some guy will say, I think I'll receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I think I will. And sometimes you don't even know that. They walk out their door and you don't even know they got saved. Thank God for those that accept the invitation. Amen? But some of them don't. Some walk out that door and get saved. Now, last of all, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke and turn to Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 38. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6, and look at verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now watch it. Underline it. Now here it is. Christians, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again. So what did he say? He said, that's a Christian measure. That's a Christian bucket. I have a lady in my church, she sells flowers. And she has a great big flower garden, hundreds and hundreds of flowers, hundreds and hundreds of them out there, and it covers about an acre and a half of flowers. And just beautiful flowers stand up this high. And I was out there one day getting flowers, and a bunch of people come up, and she walked up to them, and she says, you want flowers? You want $10 worth of flowers? She said, yes, I'd like $10 worth of flowers. They're a dollar a piece. I'd like $10 worth of flowers. And she said, do you want a Christian measure or a regular measure? And this lady says, I think I'll take the regular measure. You know what a regular measure is? That's a dollar for a flower. Next one comes up, and she says to her, do you want the Christian measure or the regular measure? And she says, I'll take the Christian measure. And that lady goes out there and she cuts flower after flower after flower after flower, and that bucket's full, and she cuts her another bucket, flower after flower after flower after flower. She cuts her another bucket and she goes flower after flower after flower after flower after flower, and cuts her three great big old buckets full of flowers. She said, that's the Christian lady. Now, you say, what's that? When you give, brother, you ought to give by faith. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They don't have enough faith to give. They go down in their pockets like this, and they reach down in their pockets and say, oh, man, I'm going to give. I'm going to give the change I got. The change. That's a matches from the store. That's no money. You follow me? Some Christians don't have faith to give. They sit down, and they say, well, Lord, I'll tell you, you know something, Lord? My bills are here, and the bills are here, and the bills are here. And Lord, I just can't afford to give, so I'm not going to give this week. I'm not going to give because I can't afford to give, and I can't pay my bills and do that too, so I can't afford to give. You need to learn something about the Christian measure. You know what I found about the Christian measure? The more you give God, the more He gives you. He presses it down, fills it up, and runs it over. He runs it over. Give to Him, give to Him, give to Him. He'll give you more than you've ever given Him. I'm a witness. I have never outgiven God. He's always given me more than I've ever given Him. I tried it at one time. I said, Lord, I'm going to give you the whole thing. Wasn't Lord double it? I had out there in Montana, I had a sidewalk. I wanted to put this sidewalk in going down through there. And there was a sidewalk, and I said, "Now, folks, we need a sidewalk by the church. And it'd be so nice, and you wouldn't have to walk in the mud. You could walk up on the sidewalk, and it's going to cost $800. I said, "Lord, we need $800. And I said, "Lord, how can you give $800? And the Lord says, "If you give, everybody else will give. You be the example. You give." And I said, "Lord, what am I going to give?" And the Lord says, "Give them your trailer that you built." I said, "My trailer? The trailer? But Lord, that's worth about $500 if I sell it." And the Lord says, "No, sell it for a good deal and sell it for half of it." So I went out and put a sign on my trailer that said, $400 trailer. First guy that come by, bought it. Give me $400 right there and said, "It's a good deal. Take it, buy it, and go over the way." I think that I can I think that I can give this $400 to put down that concrete, and I'll put it in the pot. I put the $400 in. And with the Lord, they turned around and give me $750. That's double almost. Come on. Double almost within a week after I did that. You cannot give God. Give him by faith. Give him. Are you giving by faith tonight? Are you giving by faith to this church? You know how this church grows and you know how this church has finances? Because a Christian says, "Okay, Lord, I can't pay my bills, but I'm going to give by faith." I've never met a Christian who had financial problems who gave by faith. You know how come you got financial problems? You don't have the faith to give. You're going to have financial problems. You will. You're going to keep right on having them, and you're not going to stop having them. Because you haven't got the faith to give. Have the faith to give, and then God will take care of your financial problems. Care of them. The bills will be paid. Every eye closed and every head bowed. And Christians praying tonight. You are saved from hell by faith. You're saved from hell by faith. You say faith? Yes. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you tonight put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? Faith in his precious blood will save your soul from hell. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself. You're going to die and you're going to go to the grave. Your soul is going to step out of your body and it's going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell, one or the other. Now, where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? It's a preacher? I don't know. You can find out. You can find out. You like to know you're going to heaven? Come on. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can know you're going to heaven as a sinner. He'll save you. By faith. You're a preacher? If it got to be by faith, it's got to be by faith. I grant you, you have to have enough faith. You've got the faith. Will you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ? You Christians here tonight, are you given by faith? Are you ministering the Holy Spirit to each other by faith right now? Are you ministering to each other by faith? Are you praying by faith? You Christians, are you putting out the Word of God by faith this evening? With every eye closed and every hand, every eye closed and every head bowed right now, will you Christians say, "Preacher, I have a lack of faith. I want you to pray for me that my faith will be better. And I want more faith, and I want it to be better. I want you to pray for me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I got a lack of faith, and I want you to pray for me." Will you raise your hand to see me? Is that you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, every hand that was raised this evening wants their faith to be stronger. Lord, I pray that you would give them more faith. I pray they would grow more in faith. And I pray that they would step out more on faith and trust you more, Father. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and says, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Know that I'm not saved. But I've been thinking about it. I would like to be, and I appreciate you praying for me. Will you slip your hand up tonight and say, "Preacher, I appreciate you praying for me. I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be. I've never been saved, but I'd like to be. I appreciate you praying for me." Is there one like that this evening? And raise your hand and say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me." Is there one? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Is there another? Say, "Preacher, I appreciate you. I'd like to be, and I appreciate you praying for me." Is there another? Dear Lord Jesus, I pray this evening that you speak to each and every heart here. Lord, I'll put no tricks upon anybody. I will not connive and try and deceive anybody. Lord, it's plain and clear and simple. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I pray for the one who raised their hand this evening. I pray that you would please save their soul. Lord, I pray that you would save them before it's too late, Father. Please, by your mercy and by your precious name, I pray, and for his sake. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand this evening. Now, it's just by faith. It's by faith. You didn't see Jesus die. You didn't see him die. But he died on the cross of Calvary for you. You say, preacher, he died for me. He died for you. He loved you enough to die for your sins, was buried, and he arose again. Put faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will, I'm asking you to make a decision. I'm asking you to submit right now and say, okay, God, I will. That's what it's all about. Saying, okay, God, I will. I'm asking you to do that. Will you right now, as we sing this next song, will you step out of your seat and come? You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. I'll tell you something. If you do that, every man, every woman in this building was saved inside their heart and just go, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. We're waiting for you to get saved. We're praying for you to get saved. If we could get saved for you, we would do it for you right now. We'd do it right now. We'd be down here, all of us would be down here if we could do it for you. We can't do it for you. You have to do it. It's between you and him. It's you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how about it? He'll save you in a heartbeat. He died for you. It won't take you long. He died for you. Will you come? Will you come? Just like as a sinner. You're a sinner. Come on. Come on. Let's sing. If you will, step out of your seat. There's somebody to deal with you. There's somebody to deal with you at this altar. Come on. Let's go right now.
There is a mountain filled with blood, far and far behind you, and sinners come beneath that blood, lose all their guilty shame, lose all their guilty shame, lose all their guilty shame, and sinners come beneath that blood, lose all their guilty shame.
You know what Jesus does when you die for you and you accept him? He takes and cleanses you from every sin that you've ever committed, from the top of your head to the bottom of your toe. He cleans you as white as snow. And he forgives you every sin that you've ever committed on the face of this earth. And you're guilty. You say, he'll forgive me of this, preacher, of this. You say, what about this and this? And there's not a sin in your life that you've ever committed or going to commit. He died for all your sins, even the ones that's in the future, the ones that are in the past. He died for every sin that I've ever committed or ever going to commit. He died for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with him. I didn't ask you to join the church. I didn't ask you to come give your mind. That don't have nothing to do with it. I asked you to accept him. Would you come? Right now. Let's come on, let's go. I'm going to give you one more invitation. It's called a gospel invitation. That's what it's called. It's called a gospel invitation. And that invitation is not to join the church. That invitation is not to become a better person. That invitation is you coming as a sinner. That's what you are. And Jesus Christ has died for your sins. Now, is that clear? Did he die for your sins? Do you believe that you're a sinner? You've got point number one. Do you believe your sins have taken you to hell? You've got point number two. Do you believe that he died for your sins? Then come on. Come on. He'll forgive you that quick. He died for you. One more chance. Step out of your seat. You say, but preacher, everybody thinks I'm saved. It don't matter what other people think at all. You're afraid of what other people think. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It don't matter a bit. Where are you with him? Step out of your seat and come right now. There's somebody to deal with you. One more invitation. Come on, let's go. It's that simple. Now, if you'll step out of your seat and come, before we leave, there's somebody right around here in this building that'll tell you how to be saved. Don't go out that door saying, I'm turning down again. We'll stay around here a while. We won't leave. We've never left tonight yet. So I don't believe we're going to leave and rush off and this building's going to be empty. I think there'll be plenty here that can show you how to be saved. Stick around with us a little bit and get somebody beside, get this preacher, myself, or any one of these men tell you how to be saved, and say, I want you to tell me about this being saved stuff. Don't you end up in hell. You trust him as your Savior, will you? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this young lady and her children and the coming this evening to trust in your precious Son as their personal Savior. And Lord, I pray that there won't be anybody here that will walk out that door and reject Jesus Christ again. Lord, please speak to the heart. May that decision be real and by simple faith. And Lord, I pray you open up this lady's heart this evening. Help it be clear to her and plain to her. And the salvation will be plain to her heart and mind and soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. And for his sake, amen. You're dismissed. I'm sorry, I forgot to turn it back over to you.